Chris Pronger's elbow will soon meet Dustin Bufflin's jaw. Coming soon to a television near you, it's the Stanley Cup Final!
She hitched a ride up from Frisco.
Hey everybody, it's time for the Adrift on the Sea that is the Internet with No Name Podcast. My name is Jason Carello, and this is my friend Chris Withers.
Jason, good to be here. At long last, we are a day away from the Stanley Cup Finals.
Just one more day. Gary Bettman, in his infinite wisdom, has decided to wait 5 days. Can you count them? Get it? Do you see what I did there? Can you count them?
Are you referring, by chance, to Gary Bettman's uncanny resemblance to Sesame Street's Count Von Count?
5 days to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know what, Jason? I am going to go out and thank Gary Bettman right now. Because frankly, the NBA playoffs have been incredibly entertaining in the meantime.
Steve Nash has come out in these playoffs at various times with one eye, with stitches. He actually self-corrected a broken nose and proceeded to calmly sink a free throw. Everyone in the NBA world was going, "Oh my God, can you believe this guy? Look at what he's playing through." We should show these guys a picture of Shane O'Brien.
Or Sammy Salo playing on a busted nut.
I don't want to get into any pictures of that, actually.
I think it was Duncan Keith. Seven teeth.
And there he is lisping his way through the post-game interviews.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, NBA, but slapping somebody, that's not a foul where we come from. So yeah, Steve Nash is going to play with a gash in his face and a broken nose, no problem.
This is the result of Gary Bettman choosing to delay the Stanley Cup Finals 5 days. We're now talking about the NBA on a hockey podcast.
Let's just get straight into it. First of all, for naming this podcast, we're still taking those suggestions in. We're trying to digest them, trying to mull them over, as it were. We don't want to pick with undue haste.
No, I mean, we're going to be stuck with this for a long time.
As long as they'll let us do it. Stanley Cup Final, Chicago Blackhawks, Philadelphia Flyers, two teams with a lot of good Canadian kids.
Awful lot of good Canadian kids.
Holy crapola, are there a lot of Canadians on the Chicago Blackhawks? We've got 9 forwards and 5 defensemen with regular turns, including the top scorer in the playoffs, Jonathan Taves, the fugliest guy in the playoffs. We all know who that is, Dustin Bufflin, Andrew Ladd, Dave Bolin, John Madden. These are all game breakers.
Yep.
Troy Brower was a backbreaker for the Canucks.
Versteeg put one away.
Versteeg. 5 years ago, would you have agreed with me if I said the best defense in hockey includes Brent Sopel?
No, but, you know, he can move the puck a little bit, play stay at home when he needs to, scare people with his face.
When he's not forced to play top two, this is a solid D-man.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have that luxury here.
I mean, he was forced into a top four role, and even that's a little outside where he needs to be. He's a great fifth or sixth defenseman.
Fifth or sixth defenseman, he's good. And you know what's even more amazing? This is a team, not only will Brent Sopel be playing in the Stanley Cup Final, he will not have the worst haircut on the team.
No, thank you, Patrick Kane.
By the way, I'm still on Twitter as Trim the Mullet. Sadly, I think he's going to be lifting a cup with that raccoon on the back of his head. It's the mullet versus the Wookiee, really.
So Hartnell, he's got an amazing amount of hair.
That man is literally Chewbacca.
You're going to have to do the Chewbacca sound because I can't.
Sorry, Philadelphia. They have more Canadian forwards than Montreal.
And certainly more than Vancouver, I think.
The Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, that's clever.
Yeah.
Move on.
Okay. Take a look at some of these names. Dan Carcillo, he was a scratch in the last game, but he's in there. He's getting in people's grills. Danny Briere, Simon Gagné, Mike Richards, the captain, Claude Giroux, talk about a playoff stud. This guy has been on fire. Scott Hartnell, the Wookiee himself. I think he's got all of Saskatchewan's hair.
They transplanted the 3 strands that every male in Saskatchewan has and put it on his face.
The Winnipeg Jets went out of Manitoba. They went to Phoenix.
Yeah.
All of the body hair from Saskatchewan ended up going to Philadelphia with Scott Hartnell.
Excellent. On defense, you know, Chris Pronger, obviously a Team Canada player.
As much as we want to hate him,
it's going to come down to Bufflin against Pronger.
You know, a lot of people have made out that Marian Hossa going to three straight cup finals on three different teams is a big deal. But two of those were really good teams. I mean, Pittsburgh and Detroit, and now Chicago. This roster is stacked.
Yeah.
Chris Pronger has been surprisingly members of two recent Stanley Cup final teams. Well, three, because he won with Anaheim. Anaheim was not a surprise, though.
Anaheim
right?
was not a surprise. Getting to the Cup final with against Edmonton. Carolina with Edmonton
with
was
Edmonton,
unbelievable. Yeah.
That's this guy. There's got to be some magic about Chris Pronger because success follows this guy.
Yeah. Now, do you think that the Philadelphia Flyers deserve to be there?
Well, preseason with Pronger going there, and Ray Emery coming back. A lot of guys picked them to either come out of the East or to challenge the Capitals and the Penguins for the East. The only thing I think that's going against the Flyers this year is the fact they didn't have to play one of those two teams.
Yeah, the only top three seed in the Eastern Conference that they had to play was the New Jersey Devils.
Pop gun offense there.
Yeah, you know, they had an absolutely terrible second half, New Jersey did. Brodeur was not Brodeur. He got outplayed by Brian Boucher, of all people. You know, Montreal did a lot of the dirty work for Philadelphia and then caved, basically.
That happens in almost any year, right? You're going to have a team that makes it to the final who had to, they were supposed to play somebody big, but they got knocked off and they ended up playing somebody lesser.
Yeah.
I mean, both years that the Canucks made the final, they didn't have to play anybody big. In 94, they didn't have to play the big powers in order to get to the final. In 82, they didn't play anybody over 500 until the final.
94, there was a big upset, but wasn't Toronto, who they played in the conference final, in the top three?
Well, Toronto, whether they're in the top three or not, these guys, I'm sorry.
Excellent. Lobbing up the softball so that Jason can trash the Leafs.
I'm sorry, I'd rather talk about NBA ball than talk about the Leafs. No offense to our friends in Ontario.
Friends?
Your oh, that's
friends
right.
in Toronto?
That's right. I forgot about that. Screw you all. So I'm picking Chicago to take this series rather quickly.
I think it'll be a little more protracted than you think it will.
I say five games, you say...
I've got six.
You've got six. Why do you think it's going to be a little bit longer? What's Philly got that's going to keep Chicago at bay for a little bit?
Top to bottom, their forward crew is really good. You know, I think they match up pretty well on a number of levels with Chicago. I think you're going to see Mike Richards playing against Jonathan Taves a lot.
Do you think they've got the speed to tangle with the Hawks, though?
No.
Like, this is one thing Vancouver...
I don't think they've got the speed, and I think that's ultimately why Chicago is going to triumph. But I think the way that Philadelphia plays, which Vancouver could learn a lot from, really, is they hit everything that moves.
If it's not
wearing their colors.
Right, and sometimes even when they are wearing their colors.
Yeah.
Do you think that Michael Layton is... for real?
I don't think he's a bad goalie, but yeah, Montreal was just so gassed that I don't think they gave him all that he could handle, and Chicago certainly will.
Definitely. Chicago, I don't know, man. I just think you look at the depth of the Chicago forwards, the list goes on, and you keep saying, wow, that's a guy I'd really like on my team. That's a guy I'd really like on my team. Ben Eager, I'd really like that guy on my team. Christopher Stieg, I'd really like that guy on my team. And you start getting into guys on the Philadelphia roster that I could take or leave. Aaron Asham. Ian LaPerriere.
I don't know about LaPerriere.
You
ask anybody who's played with Ian LaPerriere, I think they would take that guy any day of the week.
Well.
And how many Stanley Cup finals has he been to?
That's a good, you know, I don't have that in front of me. I can't really.
I know he went with Colorado at least once, maybe twice.
Now, that's one stat I don't have in front of me is how many rings we have on these two teams. I mean, obviously, John Madden won in Jersey. He knows how to win.
Yeah.
He's got to be one of the leaders in that dressing room. Pronger on Philadelphia has won. Did LaPerriere win in Colorado?
I believe he did.
I think he did. So, I mean, we've got a couple of rings on each side, but there's nothing that really says, oh, we have an advantage.
No, there's a lot of youth on Chicago. Philly, a little more experience, but not a lot of guys that ever broke through.
Daniel Briere is finally having a respectable playoff.
Yeah.
This is really the first year. I mean, they were expected to do magic in Buffalo, and he would disappear, a la Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
The same deal, Simone Gagné came back from injury. He's never been a big playoff performer, and he scored in four straight games when he came back. These guys are coming through.
Yeah, they're not the only guys anymore. They have been in the past, and now they've got Jeff Carter and Mike Richards, who are a fantastic 1-2 punch.
And Claude Giroux, as we said, is having a wonderful playoff.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've got Chicago in five. I think Chicago's just too fast.
I think Chicago is going to get punished this series in a way that they haven't been before. And I think Philly will be able to take a couple of games away from them. But I think that the speed will ultimately prevail.
Chris Pronger's elbow will soon meet Dustin Byfuglien's jaw. Coming soon to a television near you, it's the Stanley Cup Final!
A couple of other things that have been in the news recently. First of all, Gary Bettman, before the media today, announcing that two Winter Classics will be held next season.
Dos Clásicos.
Yes, the first at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, where the Pittsburgh Penguins will skate up against the Washington Capitals. The Battle of Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin.
Right, and the second one's in Washington, D.C. between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals.
I'm sure they pondered doing that.
Right.
But no, there will actually be a Canadian Winter Classic between Calgary and Montreal.
Calgary and Montreal?
At McMahon Stadium in Calgary.
What do you think of this?
Mm.
I saw a proposal that there be a Winter Classic in Quebec City with the Colorado Avalanche wearing retro Nordique jerseys going up against retro jersey Montreal Canadiens. What do you think of that?
Like it.
Isn't that a great idea?
That is a great idea. It'll never happen.
It will never happen. I also think it would be superb if they would have a Phoenix Coyotes Vancouver Canucks Winter Classic with the Vancouver Canucks wearing the old ugly V's. And, of course, them wearing the Winnipeg Jets jerseys. Again, it will never happen.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit later because that's something else I want to throw at you. But here's a question for you about the Winter Classics.
All right.
So far, they have only had the Winter Classics in cold weather markets. Pittsburgh.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. But they're having NHL games every single day of the season in buildings that are 20, maybe even 25 degrees in some of the warmer markets. Why is it impossible for a city like Vancouver or a somewhat warmer climated city to host a Winter Classic outdoors?
Okay, for Vancouver, the answer is very simple. We don't have an outdoor venue that seats 30, 40, 50,000 people.
Well, fair enough.
So Vancouver's out of the mix.
Bettman was asked about a city like San Jose, which is not as warm as the rest of California, and has a very, very strong fan base for a Sun Belt team.
Right.
I want to know, do you think it is possible to have an event like that in a non-traditional market?
I do not. I think that the reason that we can have indoor hockey games in a stadium, like in Dallas, for example, in Phoenix, or even in Vancouver this year, we had bad ice sometimes because the building was so warm. They have permanent ice machines that allow them to keep at least the ice respectable, and still we've got bad ice sometimes. There's no way that a temporary facility outdoor would be able to support it. No way.
Okay. So do you think that Vancouver, once we get to BC Place retrofitted with a retractable roof, will be able to host a Winter Classic?
Yes. Why wouldn't they?
Well, it does rain an awful lot here, which I think would hamper the game.
During the Olympics,
yep.
We had some difficulties putting on some of those events because our weather was just so warm. It is impossible for us to guarantee having that kind of weather that early.
Mm-hmm.
Last February, 2009, February was nuts. We had snow up to our armpits. We'd never seen that before here in Vancouver. This year, it was 15, 16, 17 degrees outside, and they had to truck snow onto Cypress Mountain to do the Olympics.
Yeah.
So there's no way that the NHL would put themselves at risk that way.
I would like to see a test. I would like to see a preseason game held out of doors in Vancouver or in somewhere where it kind of resembles what it would be like in winter in a not-so-cold climate.
Preseason? No. College. That's what the Americans did. You got to remember, before the NHL ever did this, there were college hockey games.
The famous one is Michigan versus Michigan State.
There you go, Michigan State. So that's the one. Those guys, and they had, what, 68,000 people? Some crazy thing like that?
I think they've broken 100 at one point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's obscene how many people they had coming out. The only problem is, if you have a college hockey game in Vancouver, you're going to get 300 people to the game.
Yeah. But the Michigan-Michigan State game is, again, it's held in the dead of winter in Michigan.
Right.
I would like to see them test it in warm weather to see if it's viable.
Well, then why not do it in August?
Sure.
All right. You got like $6 million to put up to test this theory of yours?
Do I have $6 million?
Yeah.
I would not be sitting here with you right now if I had $6 million to my name, Jason.
You know what's actually kind of sad? Yes, you would be. The only difference is we would have a much better microphone, and we'd have beer, and we'd probably have valet service.
Second thing that's been in the news recently regarding the NHL, Gary Bettman has come out and directly stated for the first time that Winnipeg and Quebec City are the front runners for an NHL team either via relocation or expansion. Here's what I really want to know.
What do you want to know?
Winnipeg and Quebec City have already lost NHL franchises, questionable circumstances or not. Do you think Winnipeg is viable?
Do I think Winnipeg is viable as an NHL market? City?
Yeah. Do you think it makes a whole lot of sense to bother moving Phoenix back to Winnipeg?
Hey, this is a great question. My main concern is not whether or not it's a viable city, because I think if NHL hockey goes back to Winnipeg, they're going to sell out every night. The main thing that I'm more concerned about is, will the NHL continue to make the salary cap an issue that allows teams to basically have the best team that they can have instead of losing all their players to the New York Rangers like they used to, or the Toronto Maple Leafs paying more than other teams, trying desperately and failing, mind you, to get better players. Winnipeg, for years, like Vancouver, was successful in spite of not being successful on the ice. They could put a mediocre team on the ice, and everyone got behind them because of an emotional attachment to their Winnipeg Jets.
Okay.
I mean, it's
so, you think that if the salary cap continues to be tied to revenues and therefore likely continues going up, as long as the league is managed properly, you think that Winnipeg will run into problems?
No. What I'm worried about is a league where revenue and salaries are not matched. If it becomes like baseball, like it was in danger of becoming like baseball. You had players who had no business making $6 million a year, signing $6 million contracts.
Yeah.
The salary cap came in and there started to be some sanity with new contracts.
In baseball or in hockey?
In hockey.
Okay.
In baseball, you watch some of these games on TV? The Marlins get 1,000 people in a 60,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
Right? Toronto had their lowest home crowd ever to a game. How are these guys paying bazillion dollars to a you know,
well, they have
a relief pitcher?
They have twice the number of home games.
That's fine. The fact is baseball salaries are not built on revenue. They're built on TV contracts.
Right.
Winnipeg is never going to sell in the States. You're never going to have people in San Jose excited to go and watch a Winnipag Jets game.
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
They're going to be excited to see a team from Vancouver because it's Vancouver. They're going to be excited to see a team from Toronto because it's Toronto. New York, woohoo. Pittsburgh, the only reason anyone's excited to see Pittsburgh is because of the star on the team.
Right. So you think that Winnipeg is going to have to attract star talent in order to be a draw?
They need to be able to have stars on the team and put a really entertaining type of hockey on the ice in order to succeed.
I have two concerns about Winnipeg. The first, right now, we're talking about moving a team to Winnipeg under ideal economic circumstances. The Canadian economy is strong, and the dollar is almost on par with the U.S. dollar.
It's continually flirting with the greenback.
Yeah. When Winnipeg lost its team, the dollar was down around 65, 70 cents U.S. And in order to be really competitive with the United States, that's where our dollar needs to be from an economic standpoint. It would not at all shock me, nor would it upset a great many people, if the dollar fell to around 70 to 75 cents.
Okay.
The point is that if the dollar were to drop, say, 20, 25 cents, which is not outside the realm of possibility.
Certainly.
All Canadian teams take a huge hit financially.
At the same time, the NHL put in place, when the dollar was down around 70 cents and the Jets left, the Nordique left and went to Colorado, Vancouver was in trouble, Calgary was talking about being in trouble. Pretty much the only market that was that were definitely not in trouble were Montreal and Toronto. They were the only ones who were safe. Everyone else was in trouble. The NHL put a cost-sharing system in place.
Okay.
And that's the only reason that you have a team like Phoenix there as long as it has been. That's the only reason that you have a team like Carolina there. They won a cup and then have stunk ever since.
Now, The second thing is, even if Winnipeg is wildly successful, they are greatly limited by the building that they're going to be playing in. The United Center in Chicago holds something like 22,000 odd people.
Okay.
The average, I think, is around 18,000, 19,000 for the league. The MTS Center in Winnipeg hosts under 16,000 people.
Yes.
That's enormous.
3,000 tickets
you're,
a game?
You're, yeah, looking you're at talking
an,
about
a an million, average ticket price of
50-ish?
40, 50, 60 bucks a ticket, yeah. Unless you're in Phoenix, when you can get a regular season ticket for $5.
And a hot dog.
Yeah, with a free hot dog, right?
Yeah,
buy
so
a hot dog,
so
get
you're
a free hot dog.
You're talking
ticket.
About losing between $1 and $2 million compared to other NHL teams, even if you sell out.
Per game.
Per game.
But would you be considering that a loss, or would you just be considering that less revenue than the other team is getting? Because they're not losing money if they sell out the building.
Okay, but it affects the bottom line the same way.
It affects the end of season bottom line the same way. Right. Can you justify building a 20,000 seat arena in Winnipeg when you've already got a 16,000 seat arena and you might not get an NHL franchise?
No, you can't, which is why I bring up the discussion about whether Winnipeg is viable in the first place.
Well, do we have any 20 plus thousand seat arenas in Southern Ontario? Do we have one in Quebec?
I understand that they're going to be building one in Quebec.
In Quebec City?
Quebec City to replace Le Colisée. Southern Ontario, no.
Cops Coliseum?
Cops Coliseum
in Hamilton
is, I think it's 25 years old and needs some renos.
Right.
So I think Southern Ontario could be viable just because of the population density there and the amount of corporate money that they could get.
Right.
I if I were the NHL, I would be really nervous about moving a team back to Winnipeg.
But I'm more interested in talking about Steve Yzerman becoming the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Good on him.
Do you think it's good on Tampa? Do you think this is going to mean Tampa Bay Lightning hockey for a while? Is he going to build a team that sells down there?
I hope so. I really don't want to see teams move. As much as I don't like the fact that they put teams in Phoenix and Colorado at the expense of Canadian franchises, I really want hockey to do well. Okay. I want people in the South to watch the game, understand the game, and love the game.
But I also want people in the South to stop shooting each other. That's not going to happen.
Well, if you build it, they will come.
That's why they have so many jails down there.
I think it is good for hockey to have teams that need to be successful to draw fans have good ownership and good management.
I think it's a great move by Tampa to get a guy like Stevie Y in there. He's a smart hockey man.
Yeah.
And you can see from Marc Messier's recent horrible job as a general manager of Team Canada at the World Championships, that being a general manager of Team Canada is not just, hey, let's pick the best players we can and throw them on the ice together.
Yeah.
Steve Yzerman has done a really good job with Hockey Canada and really good job with his managerial work in
Did Messier
in Detroit.
Did that bad a job? He picked, I know they finished seventh.
They finished seventh?
I know they finished seventh, but they picked a lot of youth.
But that doesn't mean that he did a good job just because he picked a lot of youth. He picked youth like Steve Stamkos.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Smith ain't exactly young, but it's not his fault the guy got injured. The fact is the team did really poorly. Yeah. Marc Messier did nothing to inspire them. I mean, Wayne Gretzky gave the big speech at the Salt Lake Olympics, inspired the team. Steve Yzerman walked in the dressing room, gave a little speech, inspired the team here. Marc Messier, I don't know what he did in Europe, but it didn't work. Whatever he did, it didn't work.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think the World Hockey Championships is the best venue to judge a manager's performance, just because it's so hard to get top-level talent to go.
Do you think that Marc Messier is going to be GM in New York?
Yes.
When should they do it? Right now?
Well, anything's better than Glenn Sather, so yeah.
But Glenn Sather's still the boss.
Well, I know.
So Glenn Sather doesn't know that Glenn Sather sucks.
Well, that is kind of irrelevant. He should learn that Glenn Sather sucks and recuse. Messier would be light years ahead.
And the Rangers will still miss
the playoffs. They'll still miss the playoffs.
Memo to Glenn Sather. You suck.
You know what? Before we leave Tampa Bay completely, though, how awkward is it going to be when Stevie Y has to have those conversations with Martin St. Louis and Vincent LeCavalier?
For leaving them off of Team Canada?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to take be very awkward at all. He's going to look Vinny right in the eye and say, sorry, buddy, you've had two bad seasons in a row. You have stars on your team. You missed the playoffs. Like, you weren't even close, Right. Martin St. Louis is only a couple years removed from his Art Ross trophy.
Yeah.
And just not performing up to snuff.
Well, I'm out of topics. Stanley Cup Finals start tomorrow. It's going to be really exciting.
It's going to be great. Again, Dustin Byfuglien, I think he's going to start by taking a couple of elbows and cross checks from Chris Pronger, but he's going to be the one lifting the cup. My prediction is, just as Jacques Plante has his name on the Stanley Cup spelled three different ways, Dustin Byfuglien's name is going to be spelled incorrectly on the Stanley Cup.
I don't think that's...
Either that, or Dustin Byfuglien's name will be correct, but Jonathan Toews' name will be spelled
You know what? I could really see Toews being messed up.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think it's a fairly common name down there. I mean, there's lots of Germans, but yeah, it's a tough name to get right.
I don't know. The only reason that I know it is from the World Juniors when he took three shootout shots in a row, and they kept showing the shot from behind, so I could...
I will go out and make a different prediction.
What's that?
When Chicago wins and goes to the White House to visit with President Obama, he will mispronounce Byfuglien.
That's a great prediction. I like that. Obama's from Chicago, yeah? Or he's from Illinois?
He's from Chicago.
Yeah. Is he a Blackhawks fan?
I don't know. He's a basketball guy. I imagine that he's a Chicago sports fan, but I don't know if he follows.
That's an interesting question. I haven't seen anything on that. I wonder, when Canadian teams win the cup, I know it's been a while since this has happened. When Canadian teams win the cup, are they invited to go and visit the President of the United States?
I sincerely doubt it.
Were the Toronto Blue Jays, when they won the World Series, were they invited to go and see, was it George Bush Sr. who was in the office when they won?
No, it would have been Clinton, I think.
Was it Clinton by then? Did they go visit the White House?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
bereft of information.
Whichever team wins, there are going to be a lot of Canadians visiting the White House very soon. It's the War of 1812 all over again, and we're going to burn it down. Burn down the White House.
Thanks for having me again, Jason.
Thank you very much, Chris. We're going to be getting back together very soon for the NHL Awards.
The awards, yeah.
And, at which time we will be talking about whether or not our Chicago prediction has come true.
It will.
We will talk about whether or not it has come true. And we will also be getting back together around July 1st to talk about free agency.
And a little capology.
No, not Washington capology. Salary capology. That's what we call it. Salary capology. For the Adrift on the Sea That Is the Internet with No Name podcast, I'm Jason Carrillo.
I'm Chris Withers.
And we bid you adieu. Memo to Glenn Sather. You suck.
Someone couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing, I'm climbing back on the train. I can explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, cause I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the spot.
5 days to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Ah, 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 ah.